your nose because the bull's about to fly.
Ow. Now, here's Greg Vogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. Ow.
It is hour number two. The Olympics are underway in and around Tokyo, and that is where Teresa Walker, the Associated Press Hall of Fame writer, joins us at Teresa Walker on Twitter. Good morning, I think, or good night. Teresa, good morning for us. Hey, T.
Well, it's good morning for you, and it's good morning for me, but it's Tuesday morning because right now my watch tells me that it is 12.04 a.m. here in Saitama. I'm not sure how you say it, but yes, after a long couple of days of the first 2 days of the Olympic basketball tournament, men and the women, I actually got back to my room at 9 my time. I could have been asleep 3 hours ago, but I stayed awake for you.
Oh, we appreciate
that.
Wow. Tell us about the trip getting over there. How was that? Any problems there, or was it pretty smooth?
Yeah. Nice setup there, JB. If you noticed my Facebook post, you know that it was an experience that Ulysses would enjoy. When they say paperwork needs to be done, and it was stressed, and the bad thing is I thought I had gone over it with a fine-tooth comb and thought everything was in order, had been checked, had been processed. I had the negative results. You had to have a 96 and a 72-hour COVID test results that were negative or risk going home. I actually have a colleague, Doug Ferguson, our golf writer. He was sent back to Seattle because his test result was 29 minutes past his departure date, so or departure time, his flight to Japan. So they didn't let him into the airport or pass the airport or technically enter Japan. I got into the airport. I actually got to stay the night and sleep on a couch near the departing gates at Narita Airport last Thursday night because two boxes were not checked on my form, the 72-hour test. I knew what they'd run. But those two little boxes weren't checked, and because nothing in my test results specifically said nasopharyngeal test, that is what sent me almost all the way back to go without collecting $200.
Wow.
Instead, I had a wonderful customer rep for United hustle me to the one restaurant, get a quick meal, got a quick shower, got me a pillow and a little blanket. I slept, tried to sleep, on a couch with security, cleaning crews going around, and then bright and early the next morning, I got the paperwork. My husband, God bless him, he went and got the paperwork, corrected, emailed it to me. I sent it to the United agent. He printed it off, and at 7 o'clock the next morning on Friday, he was there, and he hustled me back up. Because think about this, guys. They had an order. They knew who was coming in on which flight, because you had to tell them, right? And probably I shouldn't have been allowed to board in Nashville without correcting that paperwork. And instead, they got me up there to try to beat some of the people flying in on Friday, the opening day. By 11:30, I was at the main press center, and got able to get to work. But for about a 24-hour period, yes, trust me, the first thing they said is, you may have to fly home.
My
colleague, yes, and having just gotten off of the 14-hour flight, was sitting on the gate and all that stuff, I did not want to get back on a plane. Doug Ferguson, my colleague, our golf writer, he landed at the Haneda Airport, and he had to turn around and fly to Seattle, get another test, and before he could come back in the country. So the reason, guys, that they're taking these, the protocols here are being taken very, very seriously. Their COVID numbers are up like 28% from last week, and we can eat in the restaurant, we can go to the convenience store downstairs, but there is alcohol and sanitizer everywhere at the facility. I'm at the Super Arena. If somebody gets up in the media workroom, there's somebody there wiping things down with a sanitizing cloth, okay? You have to have a mask on. There's just not an option. You have to have it on. In fact, on my flight, they kept reminding me, you have to keep it on. So, and it's not fun, but, and you can't, I can't go walk around. I can't go to a restaurant across the street. I have to stay in my hotel. I have to eat in the venue. Guys, the food choices. It's a good thing I brought snacks, and I stocked up at the convenience store today. We got pizza using Uber Eats. We were able to order it and have it delivered to the area where the buses are dropping off and collect the food from there and take it in and eat. I think it's my turn tomorrow to buy food and see what we can get delivered. So it's a unique, this is my sixth Olympics. This is the most unique that I've dealt with, but you know, we're in a pandemic, and you know it's really they're walking a tough line trying to keep people healthy and keep the games going and try to see if we can. The strangest thing, you know, they only decided, I think it was a week ago Friday, that they were going to have no fans. There's still halftime entertainment for basketball. There was a robot that was making shots last night of the U.S.-France game, and you know it's very interesting to see, you know, what's going on when, you know, plans have been kind of changing almost daily.
Well, Teresa, if the men's basketball team loses another game, are they just going to send you home too?
No, I might, at this rate, if they keep playing the way they did last night, I might outlast them here in Japan. I'll just say that. I mean, guys, they had so many chances to shoot, but it was like with Rudy Gobert in the middle, and I had people on my social media last night saying, well, France ain't got nobody. Hello, Rudy Gobert? If you watch the Grizzlies-Utah Jazz series, Rudy Gobert is now the three-time defensive player of the year in the NBA. Evan Fournier, he's with the Boston Celtics. And more importantly, they could shoot and hit the ball in. You know, Kevin Durant had like three tries. They had five chances to make a bucket there. But it was like they were just struggling to go inside against those big guys, particularly Gobert, and, you know, they just couldn't get shots to go. Kevin Durant fouled out in that game. Reminder that in the FIBA game, it's five fouls and you're out, not six like in the NBA. So, now the schedule gets a little easier, okay? On Wednesday, Tokyo time, they play Iran. They play the Czech Republic. I think it's Saturday night, the last game of that night. And, we'll see. You know, Pop, you know, and Draymond Green were making it very clear they were not consistent. And it's kind of easy to see that. So, now the question is, can they get things fixed? And for all the people saying, well, the U.S. has to win. We're the U.S. It's basketball. We own this game. We made this game. Take a look at what Luka Doncic did on his first Olympic game. He came, he tied the record for the second most points in an Olympic game in his debut. And if he had actually played in the second half the way he did in the first half, he would have had the record set originally held right now by Oscar Schmidt. I think it's of Brazil with 55 points.
Yeah.
He had 48, and when he was on the court, he didn't really shoot in the second half. And trust me, I talked to Zoran Dragic, I'm going to butcher that name, and he said they were on the bench telling him, "Go for the record, go for the record." And he was just trying to get his teammates involved at that point and win the game. Think about this, guys. He's 22, and so the talent is spread across the country, the world right now, and it's just not that easy for the U.S.
Teresa Walker, our guest from Japan at the Olympics. What do you think's missing from this U.S. team? Because Patton and I were joking. We're both big LeBron fans, and we know how much heat LeBron gets. And if the U.S. gets eliminated, they'll blame LeBron. So what do you think is missing from this team?
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see, how this goes. Is it the fact that they only came together a few days ago and, had a 10 to 15-day training camp and Las Vegas, where they lost the game, was it 1-2 that they lost in Vegas?
Yeah.
I know that the U.S. women lost two games. Was it two? I tell you, I'm losing. There's a reason why there's media guys, and thank God for Google and stuff like that. But
I was joking, T, when they lost to Nigeria, I was like, what, did Akeem come out of retirement in that exhibition game?
Well, think about this. Jrue Holiday, who had a reason to be the tiredest guy on the court because he just arrived a few games earlier, and he had a great game. I mean, he seemed to be the only one who was doing anything in that game last night, and he was trying to single-handedly help the Americans pull that one out of the fire. So, they're not talking much. You know, before Pop talked after the game last night, I don't think he had talked since Vegas. So, the U.S. team, the women, are having Zooms every day. Even, it's weird. normally they'd be having practices, and some of our reporters would be going over there, you know, to talk to them and do things like that. But, you know, they're doing all their post-practice availabilities via Zoom. U.S. men haven't been doing some of that stuff. So, you know, hopefully they're using the time to practice, get used to the smaller FIBA ball. You know, the three-point line is a little closer. You'd think that'd make it easier to shoot. You know, but these guys are, you know, they're creatures of rhythm. But, you know, Evan Fournier is an NBA player, and he didn't have a problem shooting from outside. So I'm just curious to see. The clock is ticking, and it like Marissa Tomei and My Cousin Vinny, it's ticking louder every day. They have got two games and a few days of practice to get things fixed before the knockout round.
By the way, Marissa Tomei did win an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress for her role
because
in My Cousin Vinny.
That was one of the best scenes around.
I liked her in The Wrestler myself.
Yes, yes. She was good in The King of Staten Island, too, with
your
guy.
She was great back in the day as the world turned. So, long-time Marissa Tomei fan.
Yes.
Teresa Walker with us. Get me through the day. You're going to, after this, hit the hay, and then what do you got tomorrow or today?
Yes, definitely hitting tomorrow. The hay. The one good thing is we get breakfast every day at our hotel. Now, the thing is, it's the same thing every day. You don't get to order, you know, so it's a choice of scrambled fried eggs. It's potatoes, green beans on the plate, which is interesting. We get hot soup, which is delicious, and a salad and bread. I mean, it's an interesting food. But because it's part of my hotel package, I'm there every morning to eat that because I know what's waiting for me at the venue. So get up, eat, try to be there at 8:00, try to be heading to the arena, you know, get there no later than 9:00. Guys, I'm 2 blocks away. We have to ride the bus. It's 3 minutes on the bus. I wait longer for the bus than it takes for the bus to get me to the arena. Get inside. Tuesday is the first day where the women have all day. Four games. The U.S. women are playing the second game, and it'll be officially Dawn Staley's debut in the Olympics as head coach. A long day of women's basketball. So it's four games a day here for at least through the quarterfinals. And so, yeah, it's basketball, basketball, basketball.
You know, one thing about it, yesterday, 97 degrees in Nashville, the hottest day of the year. They're saying, Thursday, maybe 98, 99, 100. It's going to be in the 90s for about 8, 9, 10 days, and you're not doing training camp.
Well, and the thing about it, the folks in Japan say, oh, it's going to be mild. It's going to be mild temperatures, and a lot of people are accusing, you know, Tokyo of lying about what the weather was going to be like at the Olympics. Well, it's hot here, it's hot there. You should feel right at home, T.
I do. I will say this. When I walked out of the arena last night, I got back to my room Monday morning here at 12:50 in the morning, and it felt like 87 at night. So it has been hotter here the last few days. This tropical storm that they're calling, you know, that it's a typhoon by Asian standards. It's raining outside right now, and there's a gale advisory. So Tuesday is going to be a really wet day, and it's still going to be 84, but then it's right back to the 90s. And guys, you know, some of these sports that are outside, beach volleyball, some of the cycling, I mean, shoot, the triathlon had the swim had a strange start because I don't know, I haven't read the story, but that some people went into the water because there was a signal, or at least they thought there was a boat in the way, others couldn't go. It's been interesting. So, but it's hot here. Okay, don't think I'm escaping the heat. Although I am in an arena where there is AC, so I got a pretty good draw this time around.
There's an arena where you have AC. What?
AC.
AC. Air
AC.
Conditioning.
Oh, I go. What the heck? There's a C in there. Hey.
Yeah, I can't call it the carrier dome. It's actually air conditioned
here. Do you pay any attention to the overall medal leaders, or is that too early for that? Or does it even matter anymore?
Matters to us, darn it. We're America. We got to have the most medals.
We're back. We're behind China.
I know.
There's a reason why they keep track, right? There is a scoreboard, but so we'll see how things start changing in the next few days. That said, the one thing that I love is I can see some of the sports, you know, before I go to work, and, you know, we've got the Olympic broadcast system, You know, so you can see some of the other sports going on in the media workroom at the arena. But it is kind of fun to wake up in the morning and see skateboarding, table tennis. Count me among the people. It's like skateboarding is going to be in the Olympics, surfing. And then I see some of the pictures of these events, and it's like, okay, that's kind of cool. There's a lot of sports going on. I'll just say that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Back here at home, T, obviously getting ready for the start of Titans training camp. Obviously, Bud Dupree, Caleb Farley among the players on the preseason injury list. But two names you don't see on that list, Taylor Lewan and A.J. Brown, that's got to be a good sign, right?
It is a good sign. I mean, Bud Dupree hurt his knee, his ACL, in December. Taylor Lewan hurt his in mid-October. So the fact that he's back, that is, you know, that's a good thing. You know, it would not have been good if there was some reason he was on the PUP list and wasn't ready for the start of camp. So, and A.J. Brown, I mean, guys, we didn't really see him at all in the offseason program. He talked to us that last week about getting Julio Jones on the roster, but, you know, we knew that Bud Dupree would most likely start the training camp on PUP. You know, Caleb Farley, you know, guess what? His doctor said it was about a 16-week recovery. Well, sometimes it's 16, 17. The key will be when these two guys come off the NFI non-football injury list for Caleb Farley and the PUP list for Bud Dupree, because let's face it, these are two key pieces of this defense that's being rebuilt this offseason. So, you know, they kind of, you know, Caleb Farley was able to take part in walkthroughs during the offseason program. That's a good sign. So that's helping him learn this defense. That said, at some point this preseason, they need him to be on the field, and we're going to be watching closely to see, you know, is it a week? Is it 2 weeks? Does he miss a preseason game? Does he get in any preseason game? And the same for Bud Dupree. I mean, you know, do the math. You know, Jeffrey Simmons hurt his ACL in February, his rookie year. He didn't get on the field and start playing until mid-October. So, you know, we'll see. So December, maybe he's, you know, maybe it's the start of the season. So we're just going to have to wait and see. Why? Everybody recovers differently.
Yeah, I know. I mean, as a Giants fan, Saquon Barkley starting on the PUP list has got me a little bit concerned. So you're right. I mean, no two injuries. I mean, injuries are the same, but as you said, how you recover from said injury is different. Man, it is getting dark outside. We're about to get dumped on, Greg.
Won't it? Don't think Teresa will get any of that.
I thought you said it was hot there.
Huh?
I thought you said it was hot there.
It is, but we got storms scattered. How about that?
It just got really dark all of a sudden. So
a dark and stormy day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey,
I'm driving this show.
Hey, I saw you retweeted something about tattoos. One of your fellow AP writers wrote it. Taboo in Tokyo. Tattoos on display at Olympics. I had no idea. Tokyo taboo.
And too many T's there.
Yeah, good Lord.
Too much alliteration for you.
Too much alliteration there.
Yeah, tattoo, taboo, Tokyo. Teresa.
Well, it's a great photo slideshow. And because that's the thing, if you've ever seen any of the pictures from the Olympics, athletes have lots of tattoos. And a lot of them have the Olympic rings tattooed. So it's a fun little package, and, you know, hey, you know how we reporters are and photographers. We're looking for anything different that can stand out right now, and that is definitely one of them. And I will say this, one unusual thing, I had a picture, COVID protocols, guys, usually in the mix zone, you know, you can get right next to an athlete separated by, you know, essentially a bicycle rack. No. There is about 6 feet, 2 meters between us with another bicycle rack to keep us from even thinking about getting close. And to help people bridge the gap, at least at the basketball arena, they started providing selfie sticks to help, you know, people put their phones a little closer to the, you know, to the athletes.
Some pretty impressive tattoos here. Teresa, go to bed, okay? Yeah. Go to bed, and thank you for joining us from Japan. We appreciate it.
Yeah, stay safe. Have fun.
Thank you. And I haven't even looked ahead to what Monday's schedule looks like, so don't even ask me at this point.
All right.
Or Tuesday.
Tuesday, Monday. All yeah. I know is that 2 weeks from today, I'll be flying home.
All right. Be safe, Teresa. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Covering her sixth Olympiad. How about that? Six Olympic Games. I've never been to one. Didn't even go to Atlanta.
Yeah.